It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings. Nielsen, of course, is the global measurement and data analytics company, has this show in the top 10 in New York AM radio once again this month. And that's with, now we got some extra competition here, right, with the Yankees and the Mets playing. Well, my guess is from Atlanta, so, you know, we're not going to talk about the Atlanta Braves here. You know, I'm going to get in trouble here, you know. But, but you know, staying in the top 10 in New York AM radio is a big deal, and it's because we have great guests, and my guest tonight, you know, it's radio. I'm going to keep you in suspense just a little longer. It's a great guest. But first, as we do each week, we remind the listeners about the great content that we cover throughout the episodes on the show. We cover such a wide range of professions and categories: social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, financial planning, time management, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Special thank you to all those that give me feedback all the time, whether it's through WhatsApp, emails, meeting me on the street, texting, get feedback all the time. Thank you. Also, special thank you to the great folks here at Bottom Line Marketing Group who play such an important support role for this show. Cirilli, Michal, Brocha, Avigail, Miriam, and Malka, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, Glenn, James, Matt, Leslie, Chris, Tim, thank you. And of course, we are syndicated on many channels: iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Player.fm, the C-Suite Radio, and we're written about in many newspapers, so you could find our content all over. Well, tonight's guest, none other than Clint Padgett. Clint is the president and CEO of Project Success and a featured Forbes book author of the upcoming book, How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment. Project Success, his company, helps companies implement more efficient, accountable, and reliable project management practices. Project Success works with many Fortune 100 companies around the globe, and Clint's upcoming book, How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment, focuses on the state of today's business and the internal teams. And tonight's show is going to be titled, Is Remote Work a Communications Breakdown in the Making? And I have to tell you, I've been reading about this. The Wall Street Journal had a column on this recently. And I'm like, wow, if only we can get an amazing guest to talk about the power of connectivity, especially in today's world where it was adversely affected because of the pandemic. And that's why we got none other than Clint Padgett here on Mind Your Business. Clint, thank you so much for joining me here on 77 WABC.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course. First of all, just a special shout out about your upcoming book. Tell us about it. When was the aha moment that said, you know what, I got to write about this topic and let the world know?
Well, I have another book that came out in 2009 on project management, more the nuts and bolts. And what I learned is, you know, the last 10 years or so since that book came out, I found myself focusing more and more on the people. And the people are really what make projects successful or not successful, is the people on the team. And I talked more and more about it. It seemed to be more and more important to me. So I decided to write another book, which is the one you've been mentioning. And that's really more about how people are, how you can manage people effectively, but also it's about mutual accountability and people holding themselves accountable to get the project or the work done.
That's great. That's great. And when's the projected release date?
Should be mid-November.
That's great. That's great. So now I'm going to jump in with just going at this topic because it's such an important concept. And, you know, so many people out there, they're saying to themselves, you know, all right, you know, work from home, it's, you know, it's here to stay. My question to you is, what do we lose in terms of communication, you know, with other people by working remotely? Let's, you know, call a spade a spade. What do we lose?
We lose a lot, actually. And the problem that we have, and this, it's certainly exacerbated by the working remotely, but it actually, it was even pre-pandemic. think about how many times you'd be in an office and somebody would send you an email or a text message, and you're just three doors down. They wouldn't get up out of their chair and go stick their head in your office or pick up the phone even and call you. It's certainly exacerbated now, though, as we work remotely. And what we miss are clarifying questions. We miss having conversations. Instead, what we're doing is communicating, but these communications end up being one-way dialogue, or not even dialogues, one-way communications. I'll send you an email. I'll send you a text message. And what I'm not doing is asking the clarifying, having clarifying conversations that allow me to understand exactly what it is you intended. And I got a great story that kind of sums this up that we've all done.
Yeah.
And, you know, when think back to when you were a kid, you probably played the game called telephone.
Of course.
And I think in the UK it's called Chinese whispers, but it's, you know, telephone. And basically, there's, let's say there's five of you in a row. And, of course, the way telephone works is the first person whispers a secret into the second person's ear, and that person whispers in the third person's ear, et cetera. And what you learn is, by doing that game, is what comes out of person number five's mouth is not remotely close to what person number one said. And the reason is because each individual person is communicating individually to the next person in line. And when I hear the message given to me, I hear that message through my own filter, my own bias, my own life experiences, my own understanding of different things. And so it's no surprise then that as each person takes the message and twist it slightly based on their own biases and life experiences, that the message has been changed five times by the time it comes out of the end. And so if you don't want your message to get mangled, if you want your message to be clear, if you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page, instead of having communication, you should have a conversation where each person got to look back at the previous person and say, well, wait a minute, I didn't quite understand it. Can you say that again? And when you say go left, you mean go left at this next intersection or the next stoplight? By asking those clarifying questions, each individual has a clear information about what the message is, and then they could pass on the exact same message to the next person.
Now, of course, as Clint referred, that this issue is so obvious and is pre-pandemic, and just want to, you know, for the record, put it out there. We understand that during a pandemic, people were not able to be together. They had to be social distanced, and et cetera. We understand there are certain facts of life, but rather the conversation tonight is to address, to say that as people come back into the workforce, let's not sugarcoat the ramifications that exist by people not working together and just working remotely. Meaning, if that's necessary, it's a necessary evil. That's the way to put it in terms of productivity. And therefore, Clinton, really, my next question is communication the same thing as conversation?
You know, for years I thought it was, but I was wrong. Researching the book, one of the things that one of the chapters is called Communicate Like a Person, Not an Emoji. And in doing the research, I looked, and the definition of communication, according to Webster, is the act or process of using words, sounds, signs, or behaviors to express or exchange information or to express your ideas, thoughts, and feelings to someone else. So by that definition, communication is an email. I am communicating from one-to-one or one-to-many, but it's one-way communication. Communication is a text message. Communication might come in the form of posting something on Jira or Slack or some other collaboration tool. It is not the same thing as a conversation. A conversation, by definition, is an oral exchange of sentiments, observations, opinions, or ideas, the key word in that sentence being exchange. When one has a conversation, you are exchanging information back and forth between two or more individuals. You're having a dialogue. And what that allows us to do is understand the other person's position better and then state our own position and hopefully come to some medium in the middle where we can agree. So having conversations allows you to add clarifying questions. And I was talking with Allison Wood Brooks at Harvard Business School recently about this. She studies the psychology of conversation. And she likes to use the phrase, the magic of follow-up questions. And so in a conversation, you're actually asking follow-up questions. You don't do that in an email. Right? So you just shoot off an email, and let's talk for a moment about the psychology of why that is.
Right.
Let's just be, again, let's call a spade, let's do that. Why do they so much want to default to shooting off an email or sending a text message? Or how many times we've picked up the phone and somebody says, oh, I was just going to leave you a voicemail. What they're really saying is, I didn't actually want to talk to you. And the reason they didn't want to talk to you is I believe as human beings we have this burning desire to want to check things off of our to-do list. And the easiest way for me to check something off my to-do list is basically throw it over the fence to you. And I do that through sending you an email, shooting you a text message, maybe leaving you a voicemail hoping you don't pick up. Because now I can check it off my list. I can feel good about what I've done today. It's off my list. It's somebody else's problem. But if I actually picked up the phone and called you and said, hey, here's what I did. Is that what you wanted? What I might learn is not only is it not off my list, but I've got three other things put back on my list because I'm actually not done. And I think that's the dynamic that goes on there. People want to default to these one-way communications because they don't actually want to have that conversation.
My guest is none other than Clint Padgett, President and CEO of Project Success. His upcoming book, a Forbes release, is titled How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment. It's going to be released sometime in mid-November, a Forbes release, so certainly look out for it. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com. If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
And we're back. Mind your business with Isaac Saftless right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is none other than Clint Padgett, President and CEO of Project Success. And he is the author. He's written, again, Clint, what was your previous book, the one you came out with in 2009?
It's called The Project Success Method.
And that's available Amazon. Anyone can pick it up?
Yep, Amazon, your local bookstores, if they still exist in
yeah.
this pandemic.
Yeah. And his upcoming book is a Forbes release, How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment. I'm going to jump in and ask you the following question. You know, what do you see, Clint, as the key to working together successfully? I know that's kind of a very broad question, but if there's anyone I could ask, it's certainly you. So, and that's why I'm asking it.
Well, I think it really depends on, there's a lot of good factors there, but to me, one key factor to working together is you need to be a good conversationalist. And this doesn't mean that you have to be an extrovert, but you have to be willing to have the conversation. And I'll be honest with you, to be a good conversationalist, you need to learn to use your ears more than your lips. Because if you're having a conversation and you're doing all the talking, then you're not really having a conversation. And, you know, that certainly seems to be a lot of out in the world today where we're not really having a conversation. We're just yelling at each other. And we need to be willing to have that conversation. Even if I don't agree with your point of view, I at least need to understand what it is and, you know, where you stand. And this could be on a project. It could be on a team. It could be in an organization. You know, it doesn't really matter. So we need to have need to be willing to have conversations. We also need to be open to getting bad news, whether I'm working as a leader of an organization, leader of a team, leader of a project, whatever that is. You want to be willing to have people share information with you that's timely, but also that's truthful. And we all know, I'm a big observer of human nature, and human nature says that if I tell you the truth and you beat me up for that, if you shoot the messenger, I walk away thinking, okay, that's not going to happen again. Right. I'm just going to keep it to myself this time.
That's right.
And then we lose, right? So you want to create an environment where the truth is acceptable. And in the world that I live in, which is project work, I'm okay with the fact there's bad news. That's just realistic. You know, when you work on real projects in the real world, real life happens, and that's often in the form of bad news. What I'm not okay with is bad news you've known about for weeks or months, then have it shared with me, because that's weeks or months I could have helped fix it that I now can't. So I think you need to be willing to have a conversation. Listen, in my world, listen at least as much as you talk, maybe even more, listen more. Yeah. Be willing to accept bad news. You know, one of the things that we have to be cognizant of is when we're working face-to-face in an office scenario, there are really powerful things that happen organically, meaning that I bump into you on the way to get a cup of coffee down the hall, and we have a conversation just off the cuff, and that conversation ends up impacting something that was kind of percolating in my head or has an impact on my project that I wouldn't, that conversation wouldn't have happened in today's world where we're all remote, because we're not bumping into each other in the hallway. And so that means that we have to be more proactive when we're working remote to have these conversations. So what I recommend people do is in this remote environment we're currently in is maybe schedule some time with your team one-on-one. Just, hey, let me just want to reach out to you just 5 minutes, not about anything in particular, just to see how you're doing, shoot the breeze, and try to force these organic conversations that normally would happen just normally and in an office environment. Now you have to be more proactive about how you have those conversations.
Yeah, you know, a couple things come to mind. First of all, I was chuckling before when you talked about listening more than you talk. I heard an expression years ago. You know, God created us with two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately.
Exactly. I like that.
And then I had a guest a number of months ago, Dr. Rich Roberts, and he talked about the concept, I think it was called MBWA, if I'm not mistaken, management by wandering around. Have you heard that one? And it was,
I have not, but I like
it was brilliant. I mean, this person led a very successful pharmaceutical company and sold it for, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. It was a great success story. And he talked about that when he came into the company, he turned it around from a company that was nearly going bankrupt. And he turned it around, and one of the things he said, and it's so true, he said, if you have that executive that's sitting up there in that tower and doesn't know what's going on, that's exactly it. They really don't know what's going on. But MBW, management by wandering around, now obviously the guy can't do that 40 hours a week, but a certain percentage of his time or her time must be dedicated to walking the floor, picking up the conversation, just like you were saying, Clint, because there's so much real data and real knowledge that's happening in real time that may get, you know, pushed aside, swept under the carpet, and then guess what? It comes back to bite the company because they're not getting ahead because these problems are being swept under the carpet.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've got a great example of a project that I worked on not that long ago where the test engineer and design engineer, this is for a semiconductor company in Silicon Valley, they've worked together virtually for 7 years, but they never actually met each other because they were in different office locations. Okay. So since they worked together on projects for 7 years, the conversation I'm about to relay could have happened at any point previously, but never actually did until they were eyeball to eyeball together in a room. And on a break, the test engineer said to the design engineer, you know, if you change this one thing on your design, we could have cut 30% of our test time.
Wow.
So those are the kind of conversations that are not going to happen
virtually.
Wow. They're just not. They're going to happen when you're face-to-face in a room together having a dialogue. And it doesn't even have to be about the topic at hand. They were there to plan a project, and this was a side conversation that happened on a coffee break.
Wow.
That ended up, for future projects, cutting 30% of the test time, which is significant.
30%? That could have been over 7 years. That could have been many millions of dollars in terms of waste.
Of course. Absolutely.
So now I'm going to come to the following important question, and that is, is there hope? I mean, let's face it. Unfortunately, we're in this still. Unfortunately, certainly in some states, the pandemic is still out there and a factor that needs to be dealt with. And how could someone really do their best? How can a team do their best still in a work-from-home environment?
Well, let me say this. I hope and pray that this is not the new normal that I keep hearing about, because I read an article in Fast Company that talked about, it's called a six-foot office. And so Cushman & Wakefield, I think it was in their Netherlands office, they designed what they called the six-foot office, where when you came back to work, everything is illegal, all the furniture, make sure that you stay 6 feet apart from everybody else. I mean, down to in the carpet, they have a different color, a summer circle around the chair so that you know whether you're within somebody's six-foot space. And I read this article and I thought, is that really the world I'm going to end up going back to, where I don't see you as a human being, I just see you as a pathogen-carrying vehicle? And I hope that's not the case, because even though I'm an engineer, I'm a touchy-feely person, and I miss the inner workings and the communication and the conversations and the handshaking. I miss all that, and I really hope this is not the way that it stays forever. So
hopefully
we'll rebound and get back to work.
Yeah.
But
great
to answer your question, I think that to work remotely, we touched on it a little bit, but basically I think you need to force yourself out of a silo. And that's, unfortunately, when I work with big groups, what I find interesting is that, let's say there's 60 people in the room, what always happens is all the engineers sit together. And they do that because they all speak the same language. We have the shared badge of honor of having to take differential equations in college. We all think Dilbert is funny. We get each other. And that's why they always sit together. And then, of course, all the IT people sit together because they also speak the same language. And they don't mind sitting close to the engineers because they're both technical and they kind of speak different dialects of the same language, right? But invariably, both groups want to sit as far away as possible from the marketing people. And it never fails that the only time you see a marketing person sitting amongst the engineers or vice versa is if they showed up late and the only seat left is on the other side, right? And so, I always like to play devil's advocate with that. And I think the reason that they do that is because if I'm an engineer, I don't speak marketing. I don't understand I know you're important in the organization, but I don't know the value you bring, and I don't understand what the work you do. And you're always talking strategy and big fluffy clouds and stuff that I can't really touch. Yet when I go home, I've actually got something you can see, touch, feel, design, a widget you can play with, code that's been written. So I don't understand you. And the marketing person says, well, thank you for not understanding anything that I bring, any value that I bring to the organization. But you need me to be doing strategy because you guys are so far down in the weeds that without me giving you a direction,
you wouldn't get a salary.
Fall off the cliff.
That's right.
We would be successful. So, I've observed this, and it happens every time I do a big class or have a big session for a big project. That's what always happens. And I think you have to force yourself out of your silo. So while you're working remote, you are going to be a bit isolated. That means you have to be proactive. You have to set up not just time to, with the overall team. That's important too, but I would really recommend picking up the phone or setting up some Zoom calls or Skype calls where you can see the person's face and really try to feel like you're part of a tribe. So you spend 5 minutes a week with each individual on the team on one-on-one conversations just to talk about nothing. Talk about, the baseball game last night or whether we're going to be able to finish the season or whatever those things are, just to make sure you're still connecting with that group, and then use the electronic communication, which I think are fantastic. Text messages or emails,
mm-hmm.
they're fantastic communications. But use them as adjuncts. Like if I have a 20-minute conversation with you on the phone or through Skype, mm-hmm. then I don't need to pick up the phone and go, hey, by the way, I just emailed it to you, right? I can shoot you an email saying, hey, it's done. And that's okay, but don't make that the only way that you communicate. And you have, again, as I said earlier, you need to be more proactive about making sure you maintain that connection with the other people on your team and being part of a tribe. And then also make sure you're asking those clarifying questions. Make sure you truly understand what somebody is saying to you. So I'm a big fan of paraphrasing. If I pick up the phone and call you, or if I jump on a Zoom call, then I'm gonna state something to you, and I'm gonna ask you, so tell me what you think I just said, because I want to make sure when we leave, we're both agreeing about what the next steps are. So we have to remove the grayness. I like to say that in project work and in remote work, black and white is your friend, and gray is the enemy. Right? Yeah. If you leave things ambiguous or gray, only bad things are going to happen.
My guest is Clint Paget, president and CEO of Project Success, and featured a upcoming book by Forbes called How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment. His company services many Fortune 1000 companies around the world, and we're talking tonight about the importance of face-to-face communication. I mean, people think, well, what is that? Well, we're hopefully going to get back to that very soon, because at the end of the day, we're all humans, and human communication is, of course, a tremendous key in terms of effective communication. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times of the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Isaac Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest is Clint Paget, President and CEO of Project Success. Project Success services many Fortune 1000 companies, and what would you say is your core service that you provide for companies out there, Clint?
I think we bring order out of chaos. That's really what we do, is we teach project management methodologies that are repeatable and sustainable, and it's probably a bad business model. We've been doing it for almost 40 years. We work ourselves out of a job. So what we try to do is transfer our knowledge to the other company so that they can go out and execute projects on their own. But actually, the secret sauce in that is what we're talking about today or tonight. It's about having conversations and forcing those conversations about the scope of the project up early in the conversation, early in the project, and then forcing ourselves to have conversations every week or every other week about the status of the project so we don't let things linger.
Amazing. And how can people find out more about your company?
You can go to projectsuccess.com.
That's simple enough. Your upcoming book, How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment, of course, will be out later this year. Again, mid-November. That's the projected time. Definitely look out for it. Of course, it's going to be available on Amazon and in bookstores nationwide. Let's hope that they all reopen by that point. Clint, what would you say are the key traits for being a great communicator?
Well, we talked about one of them, which is to be a great listener, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's about being a great listener, but also if you're just trying to communicate your message, you want to make it in a way that's understood by the people receiving the message. And so, as I said earlier, I'm a big fan of forcing clarifying conversations, asking clarifying questions, asking follow-up questions, you know, making sure they understand, asking people to paraphrase back to me what they think the message is. And it's okay if it's wrong because it gives me a chance to fix it. But I want to make sure that when the conversation is over, we're on the same page and we're fighting the same battle, heading in the same direction. So I think it's about trying to be clear, understanding that the other person is going to hear what you say through their filter of their biases, their learning, their life experiences, and that's why I think it's important to ask, you know, to paraphrase or ask the follow-up question to say, well, what do you think that means?
Now, Clint, here's a tricky question, but a question that really is on many people's minds, and that is, you know, we during the pandemic, many people and certainly teams got used to Zoom conversations, Google Chat, and other forms of video communication. Is there a difference between a face-to-face meeting and a video meeting?
That's a great question, and there actually is. So I was talking to a professor of psychology, organizational behavior rather, over in Australia recently about Zoom fatigue, which I know we'll probably get to at some point in the call.
Yes, I want to get to that next.
When you think about face-to-face versus Zoom or Skype or some other kind of video conferencing, mm-hmm. I can only see your face. That's all I can see. So I'm missing all of the nonverbal cues that you might otherwise give me. If I'm working in a big room of 30 people, I'm not zoomed in on every single person when I'm face-to-face, but the way our mind operates, I'm able to see something in my peripheral vision that says to my brain, hey, look over there. Something's important enough. You need to go look at that. And so I can turn and see some conversation happening that I need to be a part of. But on Zoom, you see 30 little boxes. There's no way your brain can process all that and know which person is the one making the comment, or you don't see those nonverbal cues of people drumming their fingers or tapping their toes, or maybe they're looking at the screen, but they're really looking down and they've got their cell phone in their hands. You can't see that. You don't see those nonverbal things that are so important to us. And so that's one of the challenges that we have. It's not as good. Is it better than just text? Of course, it's definitely better and we should leverage that. But it, to me, will never take the place of face-to-face because it also doesn't have the same feel as it does when we're face-to-face, right? And so sure. The other thing you miss is those organic conversations, because when you're on a video conference like that with 5 or 10 or 15 people, it's not like being in a room together where you can actually tap somebody on the shoulder, go off in the corner and whisper quietly about something. Right. That's not going to happen on these Zoom calls. So they are definitely better than just picking up the phone or just sending an email, but they will never be as good as face-to-face. It just won't.
So, Clint, you just mentioned it before. What is Zoom fatigue?
Well, it turns out Zoom fatigue is actually a thing. And I was talking to the professor, Libby Sander, over at Bond University in Australia about this very topic. I read an article that she'd written, and I was really interested in it. And it turns out it's really exhausting to our brain when we're on these big Zoom calls because I can't – so first of all, one of the things they've learned is – it's exhausting to look at my own picture, my own face on the Zoom call. You know, if you're in a room with your colleagues, you don't know that your hair is messed up. You don't know that your collar is bent up. You just think you look good, right? Yeah. That's just normal.
Yeah.
But on these Zoom things, I notice this, people spend a lot of time looking at their own picture, their own self, and that's very, very tiring for people. It's also, without looking at 30 different pictures, it's also exhausting trying to figure out who's talking. And in the real world, obviously, your ears would help you figure out what side of the room is coming from, and you could focus or you recognize the voices. But with the Zoom calls, it's hard to see, although the pictures do pop and sometimes get larger. Everybody's talking at the same time, and it's really hard to focus and really keep your attention on that. The other one is the technology side of things. Even a delay as short as 1.2 seconds, you're having this constant thing, oh, my God, am I frozen? Did my internet drop out? Can they hear me? Am I on mute and don't know it?
Right.
And that adds a lot of frustration and angst as well. And then a lot of us, since we are working at home, I'm sure we've all seen that video where Dr. Kelly was on the BBC being interviewed
in
his living or his bedroom, and the kids walk in, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, it's almost like the angst of that as well. I was joking with her that maybe the worry of having your kid walk into the room replaces the worry of when you were in school, showing up at school and you didn't know there was a test.
Right.
You didn't study for it, you didn't know about the test, right? So all of those factors together, it's just really tiring to be on these calls all day.
Yeah. So I know we touched on this earlier in a different way because, the workplace setting is unfortunately had been replaced by so many that are not able to work in the workplace. How vital would you say is the water cooler talk and, you know, between meetings talk? Now, on one hand, you could make the case to say, you know what? Good, a lot of that was waste of time. That chit-chat may have been a waste of time. But at the same time, could you make the case how those conversations are vital?
I think we've nailed it already. I mean, that's great because, like you talked about, the guy managing by walking around or wandering around, how much did he glean or she glean from that?
Yeah.
We have the 30% of test time that could have been saved. That conversation came by chit-chatting, right? Water cooler talk. So I think these are important conversations to have. Oh, I would absolutely agree that maybe 80% of them it is a waste of time, but that other 20 is so powerful that it more than makes up for the 80% that's wasted. And, you know, we work on a lot of global projects. We do all of the Olympic planning for one of the major sponsors of the Olympics, and we've done those since the mid-90s. But even in these big projects, we actually have found it to be so important. We will fly people from around the globe to one central location for 3 days or 5 days to plan these big events or these big projects, because what we've learned is the relationships we're able to form in those three, let's say it's even 3 days, in those 3 days, the bonds we form with those other people that we've never met before will allow us to do the rest of the project remotely, where we don't have to see each other face-to-face every day, as long as we hold ourselves accountable and we do that through the relationships we establish in those planning sessions where we are face-to-face. And the way I like to say it is this: I need to turn you from an email address into a living, breathing human being that I feel accountable to. And I do that by getting to learn about you. And so this doesn't happen in the meeting itself. This happens on the coffee breaks, on the lunches, at the team dinner, at the continental breakfast before the meeting starts, where I get to learn about, oh, you got two kids? I got two kids. Oh, my kids play football. Your kids play football. This is great. My kid plays violin. Oh, my kid plays trombone, right? So we get to learn about each other. And when we go back to our different offices and our different locations, I have established a relationship with you that I now feel accountable to make sure that my work doesn't negatively impact you. And all of that happened by having those organic conversations at the water cooler, on the coffee break, at the lunch, or at the team dinner.
Now, Clint, this is an interesting question from your four decades of experience. At what point during a major project would you say is the most critical time that you get everyone together? Like, let's say you're doing a big project and the culmination of the project will be a year out or 2 years out. Do you have everyone meet at the very beginning, somewhere in the middle, somewhere close to launch? What's your take on that?
It's 100%. It's at the very beginning. Because you want to establish those relationships, you want to establish those bonds. You also want to ask the hard clarifying questions about what the scope is. Do we all agree on the project? Does anybody disagree? Let's talk about it now. So when we leave this room at the end of 3 or 4 days, we're all on the same page. We're going to fight the same battle. We're heading in the same direction. So we think at the very beginning, if you can only get together once face to face, It should be at the beginning of the project where you lay out the scope and build a plan. Because of the rest of it, people know what now they've held them. They're going to hold themselves accountable to deliver what they planned, and that works great as long as you've established those bonds up front. So I would say at the very beginning of the project is the most important piece.
My guest is Clint Padgett, President and CEO of Project Success. His upcoming book, How Teams Triumph, Management by Commitment, is a Forbes release. It's coming out in November of 2020. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we return, our final questions with Clint Padgett here on 77 WABC. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com. If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining us once again this week. Our guest tonight is Clint Padgett, President and CEO of Project Success. His upcoming book is a Forbes release, How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment. Clint, thank you so much for taking out of your hectic schedule and joining us here on 77 WABC.
My pleasure.
Well, and when I did research about you, I saw that you service a number of Fortune 1000 companies. So my question now, and of course, keeping everything confidential, perhaps you could share a great, maybe a war story, something where your team came in and, did the trick, solved whatever the challenge was, but perhaps you could even describe the challenge and your solution and then the result.
Absolutely. So basically, we were working with one of our clients, Fortune 1000, and they had data. This was back in probably 2009, and they had data going back to 1983 that said that for most of the projects they took on, they actually kill the project, meaning they cancel it. But by the time they cancel it, they'd already used up 100% of the resources allocated, 100+% of the budget, and almost all of the time allocated. So they killed the project and saw no benefit whatsoever. Of the projects they actually completed, they were completing on average 9 months late. So if it was supposed to be done in 14 months, they were doing them in 23 months. Mm. We went in and transformed the organization so that after we left, as I said earlier, worked ourselves out of a job, they actually were killing projects in the first week rather than wasting 14 months and then killing it. They were able to kill them in the first week or 2 weeks. Mm. And the ones that they actually did end up completing, they only finished on 0.9 months late, saving them 8.1 months of time. And a typical project for them might have 20 people on it. And these are engineers, so highly compensated people when you look at the fully burdened rate.
Right.
Not to mention having happy customers, because now they customers trust the deadline that they've been communicated to.
That's right. Wow. Let's go back to tonight's conversation, and that is the importance of face-to-face communication. Some companies might continue, and there is talk about this all the time. Even I pick up the Wall Street Journal and some of the other publications, and you see they talk about, like you mentioned earlier, we don't want to refer to it that way, the new normal. So many business people realize, we don't want it to be the new normal, but we'll call it the present situation, be it as it may. There are many companies that will be continuing with some level of work from home for their staff, even after the pandemic ends. What advice would you give them?
Well, I think that, I've seen several companies like Twitter and some others who said that they're definitely not coming back this year, maybe never. And I do think that there are certain jobs that they were probably okay to do from home. And I think the productivity that increase they get from not having to commute and all that is great. But even those companies have come back since and recognized there are going to be times when they're going to have to be face-to-face, even if it's just for short periods of time, because the collaboration is so much richer when you're in a room together than it is when you're on a phone call or a Zoom call or just communicating through email. So I do think that there are going to be people, some who stay remote long-term, maybe forever, but I do think there's going to be a migration that goes back to the office and some hybrid in between. But I think, again, it comes back to how do we do that? You have to do that through having the conversations, forcing yourself out of the silo. And again, I'm an engineer, so I'm just as guilty as anybody else. If I was doing engineering work, I want to go back to my cubicle and design the perfect widget, and don't bug me with all your stupid meetings you want me to come to. To me, that's non-productive, right? But I have to have those conversations, because the way I like to put it is this. All the clients that I work with are for-profit companies. And if in a for-profit company, if engineering is building things marketing can't sell, we're not making money. If marketing is out there selling things that engineering can't build, we're not making money. The only way we make money is by having conversations to make sure that what I'm building is what you can go sell. So you have to force yourself out of your comfort zone to have the conversation with people who don't speak your language, but you need to understand them. And I think that's all about having these clarifying conversations.
Now, Clint, here's a tricky question, but I certainly feel I could ask you this, and that is, could good communication skills be taught?
I do think they can be taught and learned. I really do. And I think I've certainly gotten clarification on that from some of the people that I've been talking with, like Ms. Brooks at Harvard Business School.
Mm-hmm.
But these are certainly skills that can be taught. Now, can I turn an introvert into an extrovert? No, but I don't think I need to, because introverts can be quite good conversationalists. They just do better typically in one-on-one conversations than they do in a group dynamic. And sometimes the extrovert is the worst communicator because they want to be the life of the party and own the conversation. And as we said earlier, one of the keys to being good at conversation is listening more than you talk. And sometimes that's hard for extroverts. They don't want to listen. They want to do all the talking because they're the smartest person in the room. So I do think these can be taught. They can be learned. Listen more than you talk is one thing I would recommend.
Right.
Ask follow-up questions, the magical questions, as Ms. Brooks called them. Paraphrase and repeat back. Because if you think about it, when you're having a conversation and you ask a follow-up question, what you're really saying to that person on a very subtle level is, I care enough about what you're telling me that I want to parrot it back to you, make sure I understand. I'm going to ask you some more questions about that. That's how important you are to me. And that is how you get work done. That's how you get projects done. That's how you get your team to have your back, is if you have these, if you do these things. So create a safe environment where people can tell you the truth. These are all things that I think make you a great conversationalist, and it can be learned.
Now, Clint, you have clients all around the world, so really, this question should be a fundamental one that you can give guidance on, and that is, many companies today have a global footprint. Again, many, obviously select, but there are quite a few. Besides the physical distance, what do you feel are the barriers to good communication?
I think sometimes they hide behind the language barrier. And so that's something you have to try to take out of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But to me, it makes having the Zoom call or the phone call even more important. And to me, I would rather have the video call if I can't see you face-to-face, because then I'm forcing you to have that conversation while you look me in the eye, right? And I can see when you're actually uncomfortable. That's something I can't see through an email, right? I can't read a tone in an email. And when you're global like that, If English is the skill that we're, or the language we're all going to use to communicate with, then maybe one person's English skills aren't quite as good, and so they might say things in an awkward way, and I might receive that information in a negative fashion. But if I'm on the phone with you, I find it's often easier for people to, when they're forced to talk, I get a better understanding of what you're actually trying to communicate, and I'm able to say quickly, I'm not sure that's the word you wanted to use, but that's one thing. Don't let people hide behind the language barriers. And what I've also found, and this is true of here in the U.S., right? So the English language, if you go back to the U.K., we might use different words to mean the same thing, or the same words to mean different things.
Right.
And so that's a problem. We have to be clear about the words we're using. And I do a lot of work in Japan, one of my favorite countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned there is it's interesting because there's different words they use that are a little bit different than we would think in the U.S. So you might be having a conversation with somebody, and they're saying, hi, H-A-I, hi, mm-hmm. and nodding their head. And so I might think that means I agree with you. But all it really means is I understood the words you just spoke. It does not mean I agree with you. So these are the things that can come back to bite you if you don't understand necessarily. You think you understand the literal translation doesn't actually mean what you think it means. Just like mañana doesn't always mean tomorrow. Mañana mm-hmm. really means not today.
Right.
And that's an important distinction to understand.
Yep.
So I do think, and also the culture is important as well. I mean, I love Brazil. I spent a lot of time in Brazil working on the FIFA World Cup and the Olympics for one of those sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And, culturally, lunch is an event, and it's not going to be grabbing McDonald's and go back to your desk. It's not how they're going to do it. It's not how they roll. They're going to have a sit-down. Lunch is going to be an hour plus because it involves conversation and talking. And really funny to me is on the way back to your desk, you're going to stop by and have a coffee. And that coffee is not going to be stuff that you get in a cup and take with you. The takeaway doesn't exist in Brazil. It's going to be at the coffee shop, and it's going to be another 20 minutes.
Fascinating.
So I was talking to one of my colleagues in the UK about that, and he says he was transplanted to Brazil. He says, I can't get him to work at, work through lunch, and he's just not going to win that battle.
That's fascinating. Fascinating. Wow. Clint Paget, President and CEO of Project Success. We're talking about his new release, or his upcoming release, How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment. It's going to be in bookstores nationwide and, of course, on Amazon mid-November. Clint, before I let you go, any final takeaways that you could please share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
I really would. It's interesting. So one of the things we also have to be careful of is intentions versus results. Back in 1997, U.S. News & World Report did a survey, and they surveyed a couple thousand people, and they asked the following question. What chance would you give the following person to get into heaven? Bill Clinton got 52%. Hillary Clinton got 55%. She got an extra 3%, I guess, for putting up with Bill. Princess Diana, 60%. And this survey was done, ironically enough, right before she passed.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan, 65%. Oprah Winfrey, 66%. So apparently you can buy your way into heaven. Then they said, okay, how about Mother Teresa? So when I heard about this, I thought, all right, Mother Teresa, she's got to be in the 90s, right? Maybe not 100%, but certainly in the mid-90s. No, they gave her, on average, 79% chance of getting into heaven. Now, one person scored higher than Mother Teresa at 87%, and that person was the person being surveyed. Let that sink in for a minute. I give myself an 8% better chance of getting into heaven than Mother Teresa. And so the article that I read put it this way, and I love the way he put it. He says, so if I understand this correctly, Mother Teresa and I show up at the pearly gates together. Saint says, only one of you can, there's only a spot for one of you. I look at Mother Teresa and say, excuse me, ma'am, that spot's reserved for me. Right? Mm-hmm. So why would that be? And this is why. We judge ourselves based on our intentions. We judge others based on results. So I intended to get this done by Friday. It's not my fault I didn't get it done. My boss gave me too many things this week. I put in my 50 hours. I feel good about the work that I did. This didn't get done. I give myself credit, even though I didn't get it done. Other people look at it and say, you didn't get it done. Right. So just keep that in mind, that other people are looking at you and judging you off the results, not off of your intentions, which I think leads into the phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, not good results.
Well, what great perspective. Clint Padgett, President and CEO of Project Success. Look out for his book. It's a Forbes release. It will be out in mid-November. How Teams Triumph, Managing by Commitment. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.